Welcome to Global River Church's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Let me pray. Lord, I thank you this morning for your grace that is more than enough. It is your grace, Lord. It is your goodness that leads to repentance. And we thank you this morning, Holy Spirit. I ask that you would blow on the word. We know, Father, that your goodness, truth, your word is full of living power. Hebrews 4:12. And it's able to cut between the soul and the spirit and actually reveals the attitudes or intentions of your flesh. And so, Lord, we ask that that truth, Holy Spirit, you're the spirit of truth, you would guide us and lead us in that truth this morning, and we'll be much better for it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I'd like you to turn, if you don't have a copy of the handout, I want to talk to you about the gift of prophecy. In fact, it was interesting that the last few weeks we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We've had four Wednesday nights on the Holy Spirit about baptism, and then, of course, June 8th was Pentecost, and we had Milton Martin here, right? And it was a wonderful Pentecost Sunday. So we're going to finish up that discussion this Wednesday night. I'll be sharing on that. But I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to Joel chapter 2. So go to the Old Testament after Hosea. And in Joel's gospel, in fact, it seems so apropos. What a week this has been. What a week. Parents got rights to protect their children, right, from the Supreme Court on what can be told to grade school and minor about. There were limitations put on age groups for pornography in Texas, right? We got this limitation on judges and shutting down. I mean, the war ended in Israel and Iran. We're praying for the hostages to come back from. There's still about 20 of the 50. I think there's still 50 hostages. 20 of them are still alive in Gaza. So there's just a bunch of stuff breaking through. So when you look at Joel's prophecy here, you can say, I can see a relationship in the timing of what he promised for his people in Israel. So let me try to set this up for you. If you look at Joel chapter 2, it's interesting that Joel speaks of natural disasters and military invasion that was imminent. They were in a place where they were in a mess. Their fields had been stripped bare by the locust. There was a concern for an invading army that was going to come and punish Israel because they had lost their way. And so Joel the prophet says, sound the alarm. Joel 2:1, sound the alarm and raise the battle cry on my holy mountain. Right? Joel 2:1, let everyone tremble in fear because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. Suddenly, the dawn is spreading across the mountains. A great army appears. Nothing like this has ever been seen or will be seen ever again. Fire burns in front of them. Goes on and talks about the war horses. And then he gets down to, in verse 12, that he calls for repentance. My suggestion, before you start your fast on Tuesday, rend your heart. What does that mean? It's like, Lord, would you do like David did? Show me my heart. I don't know about you, but we give ourselves a lot of grace. We like to judge others, but we want grace for me, right? And so it's easy for us to be critical of others, but, you know, that was not really my intention. And so my suggestion would be for all of us is rend your heart. Get quiet with God. Because the fast will be much more effective when you enter into humility. When you come and say, Lord, I want us to be in a place where you move mightily. I want to see mountains move. I want to see sickness defeated. I want to see reconciled marriages. I want to see a breakthrough for jobs and finances. Well, it's not bless me, Lord, but there's a place where he's a father. And he wants to bless his people. Right? Remember, it was 2 weeks ago I shared in John 14. 17 times in 30 verses, the word father is used, right? Don't be troubled or afraid. I go to place for you, Jesus said when he tells. And so the father wants to bless us. But here in this scripture, we see this is a place of humility. It says this. Look at verse 14. The Lord says, turn to me now, verse 12, 2:12. Turn to me now while there's time. Give me your hearts. Come with fasting, weeping, mourning. Don't tear your clothing in grief. Tear your heart instead. He's eager to relent and not to punish. Perhaps he will give you a reprieve, sending you a blessing instead of a curse. Many think Joel's prophecy was written just as the exiles had come back from 70 years, and they had been sent into exile because of their rebellion. Then he goes on in verse 15. We did it this morning. Blow the ram's horn. Sound the alarm. Announce a time of fasting. Gather the people for a solemn meeting. Let the priest who minister to the Lord in his presence stand and weep between the entry room. Let them pray, spare your people, Lord. Don't let your special possession become an object of mockery. Think about what happened in the last 12 days of war. The Israelis, you talk about an incredible feat of what took place, right? And even our own military, man, oh man, to see those young men and women. In fact, got to be really proud. When they evacuated the 10,000 servicemen from the base in Qatar, they left 44 service people, of which were age 21 to 28, to man the two missile batteries. And those 44 young men and women defended that base and shot down 14 missiles. Not one got through. When you think about the glory of God, and we don't celebrate, you know, some trust in horses, some trust in, we don't trust in those things, but we also know that the Lord is a provider, right? And so many got upset with Trump about the bombings, but it ended the war, right? And so you can get upset and, well, I don't like him. Well, okay, you may not like his gruffness, but God put him there. Romans 13 says he doesn't get there unless God put him there. So take it up with God. Don't, you know. All right, I'll leave that alone. So I want us to see where the Lord's promise, call to a fast and call, but first of all, humble yourself in that place. And then what happens? Once, look at this, it says, look at verse 28, Joel 2:28. Then after doing these things, weeping, humility, after you do these things, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. And your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams, and your young men will see visions. In those days, I will pour out my spirit, even on the servants, men and women alike. And I will cause wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and columns of smoke. The sun will be dark and the moon will be turned to blood. The great and terrible day of the Lord. But everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Woo! Glory. So you're familiar if you've been here at any length of time. Now turn with me to Acts chapter 2. So when you enter the book of Acts, I love this. When you enter the book of Acts, and you know the story, right? After Jesus is crucified, even Peter three times denies Christ. He even tells a servant girl, curses at the fire, and tells the servant girl, I don't know him. No, I wasn't with him. And so they get this fear. Obviously, I believe you, all of us would be afraid. They just crucified the one who is the Son of God, and now his disciples are hiding out. And so we can get into that story and realize, well, there's a wise fear here. The Pharisees just killed him. Why do you think they wouldn't do something? So something transpires from the time of them gathering, and we've shared this several times. He says, don't leave Jerusalem, right? Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends the gift. What's the gift?
The Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost, right? So they're believers, but the Holy Ghost had not yet come upon them, right? This is Acts chapter 8. The come upon them, he's in you for you, but he's on you for others. Well, I'm not going to relitigate this whole thing. We've done it many, many times. But there's this place where the Holy Spirit's going to come as that gift. Well, when he's poured out in Pentecost, so if you look at Acts 2, and you see they're in unity first, right? They're all together in unity, which is an interesting statement. On Pentecost 2:1, Acts 2:1, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. They were in one accord. There's something about unity that is powerful, right? D, Disunity is also powerful in the wrong direction. And he says, you'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. We know as soon as the Holy Spirit falls, first of all, it says there was a loud noise and everyone came. So I'm assuming that the landscape may be the same. If you've ever been to Israel in the upper room, when you come down the stairwell of the upper room, there's a big pavilion there. David's bones are buried under there at that point. And so there's a big open space. How loud was it? It says everyone came. They heard the sound. So how loud was, what was this like that drew attention? People in the house like, what's that? Is it a tornado? You know, we got to go out. So they all come. And then I counted it, at least 14 different languages, right? When you look at Acts, it says these men, the disciples start speaking in a tongue that's not their tongue. At least 14 different languages. So what's that like? Think of them all in the square. People think they're actually drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning when the wind starts going and the fire and tongues are happening. So people like, they're awakened. Somebody like, what's that? Let's go see this. And all of a sudden you see all these people look like they're drunk and they're speaking in a language they don't even know, but they're saying, let's glorify God. So they're saying, some are saying, this is amazing. Although, well, that can't be God. These people are drunk. They've been hanging out. No. And what happens? Peter steps up. And here's the guy who just denied to a little servant girl and cursed out that he even knew Jesus. And now he says, let me tell you what just took place. This is Joel's prophecy, and it's being poured out. This is that, right? It's like, so what a transformation of the power. When it comes upon you, we can testify. When the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will do things that you don't even want to do in the natural. Like, oh, right? But you know it's God, and he moves in a powerful way, and it's throughout all of Acts. That's why he said, don't leave until it happens, because why? Acts 1:8, you're going to get power and be my witness, right? So we know in this outpouring, I want to focus on verse 17, Acts 2:17. In the last days, now he adds something. Peter adds something. In the last days. Well, Pastor, that's 2,000 years ago. What does Peter say? A day is like 1,000 years, right? So 2 days ago, this happened in God's calendar, right? What'd you do 2 days ago? You could probably remember that, right? I can go think back there. So 2 days ago in God's calendar, this pouring out happened. And then he also says in Peter, don't mock. Well, where is he? It's been taking so long. Yeah, he's not slack concerning his promises, he says, right? So we see this, in the last days I will pour out my spirit. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Same words, men and women alike will prophesy. Why does he pours out the Spirit, but he focuses on prophecy. Why? Why is that, you might ask? Because it's so important. I'm glad you asked. We're going to look into this. And so look at your handout. In the last days, I've quoted both Acts 2 and Joel's prophecy there. But I want us to look at what is this gift of prophecy, and why does Paul kind of focus on it? Well, prophecy speaks to people. If you look at the second paragraph down there, the top, it speaks to strength. If you've ever been prophesied over, I've got, by the way, I don't know if you keep them, some people have them on their phone, a little bit old-fashioned. I got a whole bunch of prophecies written in the back of my Bible, and it's like, that was spoken to me in this country, this was spoken to me at that church. It's like, and I jot it down, and many have been fulfilled. Some of you know my story. 8 years before I was even pastoring, this lady had a vision that there was some white man that was going to take her to the mission field, right? She's 60 at that time, has never been out of the country, didn't have a passport, right? I'm working for General Electric in New York. Now, this is getting a little freaky right now. I'm telling you what, right? Like, do I even have a choice? Is this predestination? I know you always have free will. You can say yes, and your little yes is a big yes, right? And so it's those breadcrumbs, right? So when I get down here, first I come down working for General Electric at the nuclear fuels plant, and I start attending the Vineyard. I was a Baptist guy down the street, and I start attending the Vineyard, and then one day, Miss Addie gets invited here. She's at Fullborn Holiness, right? Firstborn Holiness Church down the road. Gets invited here, walks in and says, you are the mission man. I said, I am? right? Yeah, I saw you in my vision. And she asked the Lord, well, where are we going? Brazil. Where's Brazil, Lord? I don't know where Brazil is, right? And so I call her and said, by the way, I just got invited for us to go to Brazil with Randy Clark. Called her up and says, I'm going. And as we drove through São Paulo on a bus, in that vision, she was the only woman of color on that bus. So this is like, that's a prophetic revelation of a vision. It's not on my bucket list to ever pastor. In fact, my wife told me she would never be a pastor's wife because the sheep bite, right? And so we'd been in 12 churches and we had ministered to pastor's wives who had gotten bitten bad. And so the Lord had to work on her. She's at the farm. I love you, honey. All right. She tells me, don't talk about me. Okay. All right. So I repent. All right. So I want us to recognize prophecy can strengthen, encourage, and comfort. So, well, pastor, you know, that's not one of the gifts I have. I just read, it'll be poured out on all men and women alike. And so let's look at scripture and see what that, in fact, I like this because oftentimes prophecy, which is, I looked at the definition here, the Greek word for prophecy means speak before it happens, right? So let's demystify this. It's like prophecy, whoa, you do that? That's kind of, we gotta get really comfortable with this because you're encouraged. Actually, this is one of the gifts, the most important gift, you're encouraged to walk in. And so we want to get in that place. Why? Because we want to encourage, we want to strengthen, and we want to comfort, right? But oftentimes it's accompanied with a word of knowledge. Some of you remember we were at the Bolivia tent with Milton Martin a month and a half ago, and Ron's at the tent. We were there, and we were leading worship and preaching. We went for like 21 days or something like that. So Milton gets up, and he says, gives a birth date. Is this your birth date? And who's the guy with 22 stitches? That's a word of knowledge. That's this guy. He goes, and that's pretty amazing. Get a birth date. And the fact that the 22 stitches that he had, yeah, that's me. That's a word of knowledge because it's true. It already happened. It's a fact, right? And then what happens? It releases prophetic revelation, and he starts calling out prophecy, telling the future of what's going to happen. And so you know my story. Some of you read my book, right? When my daughter, Sarah, who's sick at 9 months old, my wife doesn't like it. I was pretty much more of an atheist than I was an agnostic. I was working for General Electric. Science is my God. And my daughter gets sick. My wife gets saved, starts getting people to pray. She drags me to a healing service. And in the middle of the healing service, Reverend Floyd Baker says this word out. He stops in his sermon, just like right now. And he says, there's a couple. And you've been praying for a young child. She's being healed of an intestinal disorder right now. Where's that couple? I'm like, so there's a word of knowledge. There's a couple praying for a young child, and that's a fact. That's us. And then he declares, that child's being healed right now. From that day forward, she was healed. Demystified the doctors and actually was the door opener for this unbeliever, Doubting Thomas, to get saved. So you see the power of strengthening, comforting, and encouraging of that word, right? And so oftentimes they'll flow together. It's a fact. That's the word that is knowledgeable. It's a thing that it may not be known to everyone, but it's known to the Holy Ghost, and he wants to get your attention so that the word of prophecy can be released for power. Amen? You following? Okay. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. I want to walk us through some stuff here. We're going to walk through some Corinthians scriptures. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the gift chapter. I like that Paul does a lot of instruction to the Corinth church. I like to go, that was the bad boy and girl church. They got, you know, they got a lot of instruction from Paul, which is good because then we all need it, right? Amen. And so, all right. So in 1 Corinthians 12, if you're familiar with the gifts, first of all, there are, if you've come from a denominational background or maybe a conservative background, there are conservative ones that believe, in fact, I just had this debate with someone about cessationism, that all the gifts died or stopped when the apostles died. That's a cessationist. They ceased. The gifts ceased. It's not biblical. I'm going to walk you through why. And so, and the when I was in a denominational church and going to Bible college, this was a point of contention. I said, the gift ceased. My daughter got healed. And I got saved as a result of it. I've seen miracles. I've seen tumors fall off and blind eyes open. What do you mean? That wasn't the devil that did. That was Jesus. And so, yeah, we just agreed to disagree. And so let's look at 1 Corinthians 12 under the spiritual gifts. Now, dear brothers and sisters, verse 1, regarding the question about special abilities, King James says spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. You shouldn't be stupid about these. That's what Paul's saying, right? I don't want you to misunderstand this. And then he talks about the pagans and how confused they are. In verse 4, he says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but it's the same Spirit that is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but it is the serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does all the work in us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability of wise advice, wisdom. To another, special knowledge, words of knowledge. To another, great faith, the gift of faith. To another, gifts of healing. To another, to perform miracles. To the other, the ability to prophesy. He gives some the ability to discern, discerning of spirits, a message that is a spirit from God or another spirit. Still another person gives the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another he gives the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one Holy Spirit that is distributed to all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. I'll just make a point here. If you look at the King James in verse 4, it says, there are a diversity of gifts, the same Spirit, right? So the Holy Spirit gives the gifts to the church. But it goes on, I like the language here, there's a different administrations, but it's the same Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ is an administrator. That's the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4. Pastor, teacher, apostle, right? Prophet, evangelist, right? So the Holy Spirit gives the gifts to the body of Christ. The Lord Jesus selects his administrators, who's the pastor, who's the apostle, who's the prophet, right? And then it says the Father gives the operation. If he wants a Life Point church, he wants a First Fruit ministry, he wants a Global River church, he'll set up an operation, he'll call that into being, and then he'll give an administrator that will help administrate those fivefold gifts, and then he'll have the sheep be filled with the Spirit of Christ in Holy Spirit to move in among the believers. That's how he sets it up. That's the administration of the kingdom. All right, that's another time. I just wanted you to see that we need to know there's many body parts. If you go on in verse 12, it says, the human body is made up of many parts. And then he goes on, and you know the scripture says, some of the body parts need to be covered, they're more delicate. All right. But I want you to look at verse 18. Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. I often say it, if you're a hand, be a hand. If you're a foot, be a foot. Don't try to be a foot when you're a hand. If you're in a body, stay in the body you're in. Because I'm telling you, it won't work well if you try to be a foot when you're a hand, right? And so what he's saying, but then don't make fun of the rest of the body. This is his bride. Don't slander God's bride. Well, they're not doing the way we do, and we got, be careful. There are different body parts, and let's just, one day he's going to bring it all together, and it'll be awesome, right? Okay, look at verse 27. All together are Christ's body, and each of is a part of it. Here are some of the parts that God has appointed for the church. This isn't past tense. Some are apostles, prophets, teachers, doers of miracles, gifts of healing, helps, leadership, languages, unknown languages. Are we all the apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? He answers it, no. Do all do miracles? No. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts, right? Look at verse, what is that one? Verse 30, yeah, verse 30, 31. You should earnestly desire, that word actually means covet, almost lust after. That's a strong word. You should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Well, what would those be? Then he goes on, I love this, between the two, the gift chapter and the gift of chapter 14, prophecy discussion, he puts the love chapter. And he says, your highest goal should be love. Then he goes on and talks about, in verse chapter 13, often at the weddings we carry, we have this, right? If I can speak with languages on earth and of angels. There are two kinds of tongues. There's angel tongues and there's human tongues. We just read in Acts 2, the 14 different languages of different nations. But there's also the gift of angels' tongues, right? Paul calls out here. He says, if I do all that, I give my body, I give all my money, but I don't have love, you get no credit. That's a really awesome word. Then verse 4, ooh, love is patient and kind. It's not jealous or boastful. It doesn't demand its way. It's not irritable. Well, there you go. And it keeps no record of wrong. Ow. Okay, so that ought to convict us, right? If anybody's there, come lay hands on me when you're done. Then he goes on in verse 8. Prophecy and speaking in an unknown language, a special knowledge, will become useless. Here's this prophet. This is the scriptures that are used by some of the denominations that talk about the gift ceased. But you got to read the whole thing, right? Let's read the whole thing. It says this: prophecy and this. I'm in verse 8. Prophecy and speaking in unknown languages and special knowledge will become useless. Some will say, the New King James, and King James says, shall cease. And whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Well, has knowledge vanished away yet? Well, you can't cherry pick what you want to pull out of this and say, well, prophecy stopped and the healings have stopped, but knowledge is, right? In fact, knowledge is doubling every few months. And with AI now, good Lord Almighty, right? And so this is not fulfilled. In fact, Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, until we come to the unity of faith in the Son of God. Is there unity in the body of Christ right now? No, right? It's getting there. One day, the one new man will all come together, both Jew and Gentile, in Ephesians chapter 2, and we'll see that. But we see here it says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, but now as an adult. And so three things remain, verse 13. Faith, hope, and love, but the greatest is love. Then he dives into chapter 14 about tongues and prophecy. Let love be your highest goal, 14:1. So of all the things you do and all of your giftings, however you operate, love's got to be your highest desire, right? That'll get you the greatest rewards at the end of this thing if you can love like he loves. Because he is love, right? God is love. We tend to model it or try to do our best, but he is. Then he goes on and says, also desire special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you're actually talking to God if you're in your angelic tongue, or your people won't understand if you don't have the translator. Prophecy strengthens, encourages, and comforts. Verse 5. I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you would all prophesy. Okay? You getting this? You think this is important? Why did he call it out in Acts chapter 2 as all of the sons and daughters will prophesy? Because there are other gifts. We just read the nine gifts, right? And there's more in Romans and Corinthians. So we see this as the desire. Paul says, I desire that you would all prophesy. He goes on and says, let's look at verse 12. And the same is true for you. Since you are eager to have special abilities that the Spirit gives, I seek that you would all be strengthened, the whole church. So anyone who speaks in tongues should also, for the ability to interpret. When you pray in tongues, you pray in the Spirit. Verse 18, Paul says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than all of you. Verse 22, so you see, speaking in tongues is a sign not to the believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for the benefit of the believers and not unbelievers. So then he talks about in verse 39. So my dear brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Don't forbid speaking in tongues, but be sure that everything is done properly and in order. And so Are you getting the fact that you are encouraged to learn how to do prophecy? But to demystify this thing, it's like if the Holy Spirit lives in you, you have access to all of the King of Kings kingdom, right? The same Spirit, Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. And so this is that place of relationship. That's why we say you need to be baptized in power, right? We've covered this in great length, but you need to be baptized. And we've gone through that Jesus didn't even begin his ministry until he was water baptized and Spirit baptized and the Father spoke his identity. So why do we think we can do life without the power of the Holy Ghost? And then when people wonder why they get beat up, right? So when you have the Holy Spirit and you're the representative, right? We're ambassadors, right? We're the ambassadors of light. We're the reconcilers to the world. And if you're in a place where the Holy Spirit needs you to operate, you get all the gifts. I've told this story before, but it's a really good example, I think. So we were in Tanzania. We had taken 16 of us to this place right outside of a mosque and in Swahili. They had put our pictures up and it was bad. They were like, in the morning when I started to preach the gospel and they asked me to do a mass deliverance, there were about 1,000 people in the field. After lunch, after I'd done the teaching on it, there were 4,000 people and many of them were from another faith and they weren't happy. And I was like, Lord, are we supposed to be here? Is this, you want us to get out of here or what should we do? And the Lord told me, go big or go home. I'm like, okay. So I continued preaching. We had 250 salvations that day. And there were those in the back when we did the deliverance. Miracles broke out. I mean, it was wild. It was, of all the miracles, we've seen a lot. But at that time, every one of the 16, when we lined up people that said, I turned to the pastor who was in that village in Boma. I said, ask the sick, those who are really terminally ill, have them come forward. Well, we had 16 of our team lined up with a translator, and some of them were 10, 12, 17 deep. I said, no, Pastor, just the ones that are really sick. He said, they are really sick. There's no healthcare system here. And so, okay, and then miracles broke out. Tumors disappearing. I remember a woman, was a woman of another faith in a full burqa with just her eyes, and she gave testimony to the pastor, who was a little skeptical, and but the language in Swahili is the same, tumor on the uterus. And she said, I went to the conference and I asked Allah to heal me. Allah didn't heal me. And then I came to this conference and Jesus healed me. And I'm telling you what, the place went crazy. And we got on a bus. First of all, we lived, which was great. And I was like, yay, God, I think we heard you and you watched out for us. There was no injuries and man, and everybody was flying of the miracles that we saw. And I got back to the hotel room and I'm like, I think I got Randy Clark's anointing. We're gonna be a healing anointing. I'm like, yay. And so I couldn't go to sleep. I'm laying there in the hotel like, what just happened, Lord? What was that? He goes, do we have that anointing now? He goes, calm down, Tom. Allah challenged me and I will not be challenged by Allah. You are the right people in the right place to represent me. Okay, I'll take that. Praise the Lord. So this is that place when you're out and about, you've got the King of Kings on the inside of you, right? You've got everything you need. You got power, right? Acts 1:8. So just open your mouth. Now, don't be prideful or arrogant and don't push doors open necessarily unless he tells you to. But when the opportunity happens, seize the moment. Sees it like the man at Gate Beautiful. How many times did Jesus walk by the Gate Beautiful to see the crippled man there? But that was John and Peter's job later. He goes, what's going to happen? 3,000 people are going to come into the church as a result of that in Acts chapter 3 and 4. So when we hear God and you've got Holy Spirit in you, guess what? You will operate in power. That's the word. You just got to trust him. And it's not about you. It's you in him, right? We just got to keep reminding ourselves that. Okay, so look at the rest. It says, number three there, brothers and sisters, be eager to prophesy. Don't forbid speaking in tongues. The gift is given, and when the end comes, then the gifts will cease. But we're not at the end of this thing. We're not in perfect unity, and knowledge has not stopped. And so we got to get this right biblically. I won't turn there, but in Acts chapter 21, Remember Philip? He's the guy who works at the House of Mercy ministry with the cranky widows, right? And so he's distributing food, right, Christine? We don't have any cranky people helping us there, right? Never. Holy Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, we have like, sometimes we have 17 volunteers on Thursday, and we feed 80 to 90 families. Praise the Lord. And so he's assigned as one of the men who's filled with the Spirit, has knowledge. So Philip is one of the seven in Acts chapter 6. And we see this when the persecution begins. We know that James has been killed. We know that Stephen's been martyred. They scatter the church, and it says in Acts chapter 8, as one example, Philip goes to Samaria. And what happens? Baptizing in water, miracles, demons being cast out, kingdoms being preached. And Peter and John are like, that can't be happening in Samaria. Those are the half-breeds. And they go and send the big guns over there. And sure enough, it says the Holy Spirit had not yet fallen on those believers. And when Peter and John get there, the Holy Spirit falls on them, and they start to prophesy and speak in tongues. So there's a difference between being born again and being filled with the Holy Ghost in power. Right? There's two different types of baptisms there. So we see this in that outpouring. So when you go many years later in Acts chapter 21, I've listed it there in number 6, in verse 8 and 9, it says, Philip, who was a member or a man in the House of Mercy or in the distribution to the widows, has four daughters who operate in the gift of prophecy, and it calls him out. I believe it's the only place in the Testaments where it says, Philip the evangelist has four daughters who operate in prophecy. See, this is the legacy of the gift of the fruit of the Spirit. He doesn't talk about his wife, but he's got four daughters who now operate in this gift. We also know Philip is the guy that after he goes to Samaria, he runs along with the eunuch, right? Who's come from, he's reading the book of Isaiah. And he jumps up on the Holy Spirit says, get up there. And he's talking to the eunuch who works for the queen, right? And he says, what are you reading? Oh, I'm reading out of Isaiah. Do you understand? How can I understand it? And he goes, and he opens that to him. And then the eunuch says, what would it prevent me from being baptized right now? Stop the cart, stop the carriage, get in the water, baptize the eunuch, who's then going back to see the queen. And he's transported. That's another like, okay, if that doesn't do so, yeah, he was here and now he's not. Was that an angel? I don't know. But that, you know, that eunuch was affected forever. And I don't know how many people he affected. So it's just the obedience of an individual who does what the Holy Spirit tells him to do, as weird as that might be. Jump up on a carriage and tell this dignitary, what are you reading? Come on. Some of this stuff is unusual and strange, and he'll get you doing some stuff. Really, God, is that what you want? Yeah, I just test and see if you're going to do it. So we see here that in the outpouring of prophecy, that I want to encourage you this morning. Here's another example. Sarah came up to me, and she was in the back worshiping, and she noticed, turn your eyes towards this. You see the notice, don't go out the exit sound. There's going to be an alarm going off. Don't enter this way. Don't go out. If you open that door, you're going to mean, right? But I want you to notice on either side, it says glory and healing. Now, this is wild. Sarah's back there and says, there's some, here, Sarah, you share what you heard, and I'll share what I heard. Somewhere I got a microphone. I've got people listening on live stream.
Well, I was just really drawn to the sign and seeking the Lord for what it meant, focused on the sign that said glory. And I just really sensed a new season coming where the enemy is on notice because the glory is coming in such a way that he cannot enter this space. The alarm will sound, and healing and glory. And yeah, we just have to get ready for it.
So it was a while back. I walked by the sign, and the Holy Spirit apprehended me. He said, do you see it? I said, fill me in, you know. And it was the same thing. Notice this door, there's only certain doors you're allowed in this sanctuary. That's not the way an alarm's going to go off. But he drew me to healing and glory, which go together, right? There's this place where, so when everything is established by two or three witnesses. So when the Holy Spirit gave that to me a while back, and then when she told me this morning, did you see it? I said, I've seen it in the past, but I've never mentioned it before. So this is where that's It's a word of knowledge because, yeah, there's a glory sign, there's a healing sign, notice, alarm, but there's a prophetic message that needs to be stated because the glory and the healing are going to keep the enemy at bay in the door, or there's an alarm that's going to go off.
Yeah.
That's, I'm getting a little, whoo, right? So this is that place where a word of knowledge is given. It's a factual thing. Remember, there's a difference between fact and truth. We've covered this before. It's a fact that there's signs on the door. But the truth is, God is going to bring glory and healing, right? It may be a fact there's a sickness in your body, but he's Jehovah Rapha. He's the healer. It may be a fact you don't have enough money to pay your bills right now, but he is Jehovah Jireh. And if you're a tither, you can remind him, you said you would pour out a blessing I can't contain, right? That's the truth. So we need, as when we walk in the word of truth, we have access to the power. So I want us all to get in this place where start to demystify this. Oh, prophecy, that's for like the prophet. No, there's a difference between the office of a prophet, right? And we'll unpack this at some other point. In Ephesians 4:11, it says that the fivefold ministers are to equip the saints, you all, right, for the works of ministry. And then it lists the fivefold, which is the administration under the headship of Christ, right? So, but there's a difference between the office of a prophet, the office of an evangelist. It took over 25 years for the Philip, the House of Mercy guy, to become the evangelist. He was in Acts chapter 8 leading Samaritans to the Lord. Then he has children 20-some-odd years later who now have a special gift of prophecy. When you start to operate with the Lord in your gifting and you say yes, and it may be in the place where there's cranky people in the House of Mercy, right, that you've been assigned to work with. And so, because you'll deal with people in there, they'll demand things. We get calls. You're supposed to help me with my bills. Aren't you a church? I said, well, who are you again? And so, I said, well, are you a tither? Well, no. Do you go to the church? No. Well, that doesn't matter. But so you want the tithers to give you money, but you don't tithe. Is that what you're saying? How's that fit, right? Now, we often do anyway, because we just like, people are broken and they're mad at the church, and so oftentimes we don't care. But at the same point, you ought to hear the truth. You want something from the church? What are you doing to pull the rope? Right? We're all in this together in the boat, right? And so anyway. All right. So I want us to see that operating in prophecy, we need to get this to a point where ask Holy Spirit, what is my gifting? Because there are certain areas that you will actually have more a leaning into. It may be, there are leaders in this thing. I'm looking at some, right? He speaks of leadership, helps and compassion. There are those that actually ooze compassion, right? And you need pastors to walk alongside apostles and evangelists, because apostles say, we're taking that hill and we're taking that nation. And there can be people that are in the midst of it that get hurt in the process of going for that hill. That's why you need the pastors to come along and say, well, the apostle didn't really mean it that way. Let me help you with this, right? And the compassion was, come here. And so we got to work together and figure out what is your passion? How do you naturally move in that area? And then operate in it. Helps, compassion, administration, the miracle, laying on of hands. Well, Pastor, I don't usually pray for people. Well, you're probably not going to see much if you don't pray for people. Right? The more you pray for people, the more you're going to see. Well, I don't want to offend anybody. What if you're the answer to the sickness or the person who gets saved? Right? I was on Long Island this weekend and talking to somebody about what the scripture says about the LGBTQ. I said, well, you don't want to offend. Hey, one day when they're sitting in a fiery place, they're going to be offended. So why don't you tell them the truth now? This is what the word of God says. No drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. No liars will inherit the kingdom of God. No immoral person will inherit the kingdom of God. No homosexual or feminine will inherit the kingdom of God. Not my words. Don't be mad at me. It's in the scriptures. It's in the New Testament. And so we tell people the truth, and then they have to choose on their free will, what are you going to do with the word? Well, I don't want to offend. you might want to offend. Not try to be offensive. Try to bring it in love. I just said let love be your highest goal. But isn't it the greatest love gift to tell people the truth that they might find a way out of the darkness? Yeah. Right? Yesterday I was doing a memorial service, a funeral service for Diane Perry. And there were people there. I asked Diane's daughter, I said, are there people here that are not saved? She goes, yeah, probably. And I said, so I knew where Diane was. I went to hospice. She went to Mozambique with me. She went to Brazil with me. And she was dealt some hard cards. Down syndrome child, disability child, an adult child that died tragically. I said, we've walked in a lot of the same stuff, Diane. And so in her hospice, I got to her. I said, when I found out she was there, I hadn't spoken to her in a while. I got in, and as soon as I was there, she said she knew who I was. And I asked her, I said, Diane, this is time to fish or cut bait. I need to talk to you. Got right in her face. Family's all there. I said, hey, I don't know where they're all at, but this is not about them. This is about her. Diane, do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? She said, I do. I said, Diane, do you trust Jesus? She had trouble with that one. I said, I understand where you're at. Diane, can you trust Jesus? She waited and she said, yes. I said, Diane, do you want me to do your memorial service? She said, yes. She died the next day. And then yesterday at the memorial service, we honored her. But I got to tell you, as a pastor, when you stand in that situation, that's a fact. Looking at the casket at down there by Bradley Creek, I said, this is the reality. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, the last enemy is death. Oh, death, where is your sting? And that scripture in John 11, where Martha and Mary wish Jesus had done it a different way. If you'd only been here, my brother would not have died. How many times have we said, if you'd only done it my way, Jesus? And his ways are higher than our ways. They're not our thoughts, but he's always good. The devil's bad and Jesus and God is good, right? That's the fact. Those are just anchor right there. Don't give me all the in-between stuff. It may not be seeing what it looks good right now, but it ain't over till he says it's over. And when I said to him, I said, look, when Martha and Mary came, the first thing he says to them, or they say to him, if you'd only been here, Jesus, we sent you messages. Didn't we tell you to come days before and you didn't come? Why didn't you come? Because if you'd come, he would be alive. We saw what you did. He goes, don't you know I'm the resurrection and the life? And he that believeth in me, it's an I am statement. There's eight of them in the Gospel of John. I am, not I will be, I hope to be. I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Right? And that's the fact. So there are two categories. I said this, and I was actually got home last night. I'm like, that was kind of harsh, Lord. Did I do it? And I was like, there's really two categories of people. I said this at the funeral. Those who are the sons and daughters of the devil in John chapter 8, right? And those who are the sons and daughters of God. Yes. I said, Lord, that sounds kind of harsh because, you know, those Pharisees wanted to kill Jesus. Well, we're the sons of Abraham. If you were the sons of Abraham, not just by your own natural circumcision, but by the circumcision of your heart, you would know who I am, and I am the Son of God. And you wouldn't want to murder me because you're just like your father, the murderer who's been a murderer from the beginning, amen. Right? But then I said, Lord, that sounds like, I said, look, if you're not born again in Jesus, you are spiritually dead, scripturally. And I said, there's a scripture in Colossians, right? It says, Paul goes on and says, we have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his dear son. There is only two categories, two kingdoms, two kings, right? One Jesus, right? And so, this is where we, as the people of God, we need to learn how to operate in our gifts, and we need to learn how to prophesy, to encourage. You don't have to get all weird about, I don't like it when people, I heard from the Lord. Well, there's no debate now. I would encourage you to start with, I think, or I'm sensing, because remember, we only see in part. And so we don't get it all right. Even in the scriptures, they don't get it all right. In that prophecy in Acts where Paul's going to go to Rome, and they say, you're going to be tied up by the Jews. And it turns out it wasn't the Romans, it was the Jews. Anyway, the point of this is we don't have to sound all spiritual. Thus saith the Lord. I know I'm being a little critical here. My wife is going to give me business later. But anyway, my point of this is, you can hedge it in a bit, in it, like, I believe I'm seeing. So oftentimes we'll be praying for people, and like recently I saw I was praying for a married couple, and I saw two bookends. I'm praying, each bookend has a particular purpose. One covers the left, one covers the right, but they need it together, and they're a match set. I said, and that's a word of knowledge, but I got this. God's going to use you as a match set to operate in the Spirit, because you're going to hold some things together. So sometimes when you start praying for people, or you're home and you're struggling in some form of anxiety, Lord, what is it that you want me to know? What is the facts? And then do I encourage and exhort, comfort someone else? You're in the store. I could tell testimony after testimony of people come through our prayer ministry for deliverance because you met some people in the store and you gave them a word and they came. I can tell you a bunch of those stories. So this is where I just want to encourage you. I felt like we're supposed to do an altar call this morning of those that are in a battleground. We're going to fast this week starting July 1st, right? Tuesday morning, 8 to 8. And I felt like there's a whole bunch of breakthroughs that we need. And so I would like those who are in a battlefield right now, if you might come and sit here. And I want us to come together as a body of believers and declare, Lord, as we come together as a body, calling a fast. This is a corporate fast on Tuesday, that call to fast for breakthrough. But I want us to, there are those, I'm thinking of Kent went to the doctor this week. Kent's probably listening on live stream for his heart. Last week he translated for the Brazilian guy, and man, he ran all over the place, right? Said he went home and took a nap. But then he went in and had a whole bunch of issues. They had to restart the rhythm on his heart. So there are those that are in a battlefield physically. There are those that are in a battlefield against demonic darkness, accusations, fears, things. I'd like you to come and sit here. I want us to come together and agree that we're going to see a major shift in the Spirit when we fast as a body today. We're going to see a major shift in relationships, right? We're going to see that as we come together, it says, call to me and I'll answer you, right? So this is that place where we get, I often tell the devil, you pick on one of us, you pick on all of us. And so we stand together, right? If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. Well, what about 100? How many can we put together then, Lord, where the enemy tries to destroy us? So let's put some music on, if we could. And Lord, I pray right now, Father, in the name of Jesus, you know the desires of the hearts. You know the battles. You know the discouragement. You know the slander, the accusations. Lord, the threats. The enemy has spoken there, his threats. We don't walk, this is important, we do not walk by sight. No, we walk by faith. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying that a doctor doesn't give you a diagnosis. They're practicing medicine. But we know somebody who is the medicine healer. His name is Jesus. So be careful about receiving an accusation. Be careful about receiving a diagnosis that is not abundant life. Because Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come to give abundant life. The devil has come to kill. He's a murderer. He wants to kill you, your life, your relationships, your finances, and your health. He's come to kill and he's come to steal from you. He wants to rob you blind. Still kill, and he wants to destroy everything that's precious to you. That's his job description. But when we as a believer take a firm stand, 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, watch out, the devil seeks whom he may devour. He's a devourer. That's why I started with tithing. You should be a tither, because he will rebuke the devourer for your sake. Test me in this and see what I will do, that I will not pour out a blessing that you can't contain. Now, this is not like the genie in the lamp. You get, where is it, God? You trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Proverbs 3:5-6. Don't you lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct your pathway through this mess, through the minefield, through the sickness, through the loss, through the grief. Because life, it's a fact. We are in a tribulation-driven world. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome this thing. If there's anybody that knew about betrayal and slander and murder and accusation, it's Jesus. Charged as an illegitimate son of Mary, broken, lied about, crucified, but ain't over until he says he's coming back again and he's going to punish. So, Lord, I pray right now, you see all the needs here, God. As we declare this fast together, I have a high expectation of your word. Call to me, I will answer you. We sung of revival. Lord, we ask that the revival would begin in our own hearts. But Lord, I ask that you'd show each of us, start with me, show us the things that are not pleasing to you. What is it that you need to lay down? What is the thing that's grieving the Holy Spirit? What is the thing that's causing him to be sad? What is it that's stifling the move of the Holy Spirit? Is it pride? Is it fear of man? God, I ask that you'd show us our heart, like David said, show me my heart. And then, Lord, give us the wisdom to repent. We read it in Joel. First, repent. Tear your hearts. Don't do the outward stuff. Tear your inward side. Lord, I see my sins of omission and commission. I'm weak. This flesh is strong, right? So, Lord, I pray right now, Father, that we're going to have reports of major breakthroughs. Major breakthroughs that are going to occur. You told us before a lot of this that we're going to do a declare a fast. Before I left on to go to New York this past couple of weeks ago, we said we're going to do a fast. And so, Lord, I thank you the timing of this, July 1st. Lord, I ask you to dispatch the angels. Hebrews 1:14, they are sent as ministering spirits to assist those who are redeemed. You said you would take charge over us. You'd spring the snare of the fowler, Psalm 91. Every place where the enemy has set a trap for your people, I'm asking you to go before them and spring the trap, Lord, that they don't step in the mess. Lord, I pray, and we're a covenant people. Deuteronomy 28, you said in verse 1 through 7, I will bless your coming and your going, your fields and your flocks. And when the enemy comes against you one way, I, the Lord, will cause him to flee seven ways. God, I'm asking you to put a hurt on the devil right now. Punish him. Tell him that he can't mess with the people at Global River. You can't mess with our families. Lord, we're people that are inside the hedge of protection under the shadow of the Most High God. You said we could call to you. You said you would give us what we call to you. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. So, Lord, I'm praying right now, Lord, for breakthrough. Every one of them. So right now, just tell the Holy Spirit. Or ask the Holy Spirit. Remember he said, be anxious for nothing. Philippians 4. Be anxious for nothing, but pray about everything. Thank him for what he's done, but tell him what you need. I'd like you to tell him what you're believing for right now. Just let your ear hear it. Life and death are in your tongue. Some of you have received a diagnosis. You need to renounce that diagnosis. Some of you have been slandered, cursed with witchcraft, telling you that you're not this, you're not valuable. That's a lie. Jesus died for you. We renounce every lie, every slander, every false accusation, all fear of man. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask you to undo, outdo, and overdo any plan, scheme, or tactic the enemy has had against your people. I ask you to punish the devil, Lord. You told us in Romans 16 that the God of peace would soon crush Satan under your feet. So, Lord, we're getting the boots on. We got the crushers on. In the name of Jesus, we're going to walk uprightly. We are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not afraid of the enemy. God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You need a sound mind to speak against these accusations. And you don't have to be afraid of your insecurities or failures or thinking that God doesn't love you. He died for you. He's not mad at you. When you repent, 1 John 1:9 says, confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we thank you right now. Lord, I ask you to activate your word of power and truth. And, Lord, I ask you to assign specific angels to specific tasks to accomplish the work that needs to be done. You know the battleground, Lord. You know it. And we're going to stand together and we're going to see the presence of God and the move of God. We're going to see some of these mountains bow to the name of the that is above every name. I have seen enough to know that God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above what you'd ask or even think. That's what he says in Ephesians. You just got to think it right. So we thank you, Lord. I thank you for your presence, Lord, and we give you the praise and glory. Lord, we ask that you would receive glory. You told us in John 17, you told your Father, Lord, reveal you to them. We are one in them, they are in us, and I want them to see my glory. We want to see your glory, God, so you're famous. We want you to be famous in every individual family here, in every circumstance. We refuse to believe that we are a defeated people. We are victorious. We are not victims. We are not a victim. We are victorious in Christ. So I thank you, Lord. I ask you to release power, power in the name of Jesus. And we thank you in Jesus' precious name. Do you receive it? Hallelujah. We declare it in Jesus' name.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are and join us at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m., Wednesdays at 6:30. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.